The university I attended required that once we received our medical degrees and had interned in med centers, we spend 3 years bringing our skills to distant worlds. Many physicians opted to devote all 3 years to one world in particular, but I had other plans. Bolstered by university grants, contributions, and private donations, I founded Remote Sector Medical, which gradually attracted young physicians who might have had careers in archaeology, linguistics, or exploration had they not chosen medicine. A small fleet of aging starships took us on mercy missions to worlds in the mid and outer rims, distributing medicines, administering inoculations and immunizations, and performing surgeries. We brought our expertise to planets ravaged by plagues and beset by natural catastrophes, and in the end there was scarcely a procedure we wouldn't undertake. It was during this period that I learned to pilot, and long before I completed my 3 years of compulsory service, I realized that I would never be content with a residency in some state-of-the-art med center or in private practice on some wealthy world. In fact, I longed to be able to venture even deeper into the galactic arms, where many populations were in dire need of medical care as a result of being ignored by the Empire. Trade had fallen off, many formerly healthy economies were in ruins, and the Emperor had little to offer but lip service, while his imperial forces focused on strengthening the core. Most of the worlds I yearned to visit were, for logistical and financial reasons, beyond the reach of Remote Sector Medical. But all that changed when I became the owner of the Millennium Falcon. The ship's military-grade hyperdrive put the entire galaxy within reach, and with donations continuing to pour in, I was able to purchase a pair of aging medical assistant droids and outfit the ship with an array of diagnostic devices. As much as I enjoyed my years as a volunteer, I loved being on my own and traveling when and where I saw fit. My peers from medical school joking referred to those years as my flyabout period, and in some sense that's precisely what it was, a period of learning and self-awakening. In terms of destinations, I allowed myself to be guided by what I heard or overheard in spaceports, cantinas, tap caps, and the like, wherever professional spacers exchanged information or gossip. I admit to having taken a private delight in their mistaking me for a pirate, smuggler, or bounty hunter, based on nothing more than the rough-and-ready look of the Falcon, with her formidable-looking laser cannon, even though it wasn't capable of firing. If anyone had put me to the test, they would have recognized instantly that as a pilot, I was not up to the measure of the ship, and could do little more than get myself from place to place. It was at some cantina on Roost that I learned about Hayado, which is way out the Hidian Way, halfway to Bonadan. An old spacer told me that if any world was going to be in need of relief aid, it was Hayado. Though he refused to say why, the reason became obvious the moment the Falcon reverted from hyperspace in the Hayado system, and the sensors alerted me to a convoy of Imperial ships that was departing the planet. What I first took to be atmospheric storms turned out to be smoke billowing from dozens of Northern Hemisphere population centers. As I drew closer, the Falcon's long-range scanners treated my eyes to the sight of squadrons of TIE fighters returning to their star destroyers on the completion of their strafing runs, and of small Hayadoan ships being obliterated on attempting to flee the destruction. I had heard of recent attacks of the Imperial shipyards at Ord Trossi or Bilbringi. I don't remember which, and my first thought was that the Imperials had discovered a Rebel Alliance base. But Hayado seemed too remote to host a base, and chatter on the comms suggested other reasons for the assault. The chatter was coming from medical frigates waiting for Imperial permission to approach Hayado. It was typical of the Imperial commanders to do this, permit relief ships access once the damage had been done. Medical teams aboard the frigates updated me on the scope of the devastation and the general plan for providing aid. While the Imperials hadn't leveled Hayato, many cities were beyond help, and many areas were going to remain hot for years to come. The rescue teams had been denied permission to evacuate survivors, and medical facilities located in the secondary targets were already mobilizing. Regardless, with power stations and tech centers annihilated, the native civilizations had been set back several hundred years. Worse, the Imperials were installing a base downside to discourage attempts by insurgents to come looking for converts and enlistees. Once the frigates had been granted permission to insert into orbit, I took the Falcon down into the roiling atmosphere. I scanned for distress signals originating from remote targets, but found none, and so relied on visual data and on the Falcon herself to guide me to a place where I might be of some use, since she evinced an atmospheric tendency to pull to starboard.